That's fine. I appreciate Mr. Collins' opening prayer, talking about how, you know, things that are going on around the world. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Now, good versus evil, light versus, or dark versus light. It's a struggle for the control of the universe, isn't it? A powerful personal force that helps humans resist and overcome the menacing influence of the dark side. What does that sound like to you? What movie does that sound like to you? Have anybody ever went to the Star Wars movies? Well, back in 1976, and Jim will probably remember this, we was at the feast in Hampton, Virginia, 1976. And the whole family, we went to see Star Wars. Do you remember that? That was a good show. I remember when it first started and all the writings came out and it started at the bottom of the screen, and as it went up higher, it faded out into the sky. That's very impressive, I thought. The intriguing themes have propelled the Star Wars movie series to a position among the most popular and financially successful films in the motion picture history. Their dramatic stories strike a powerful chord with moviegoers of all ages, and I can still remember that. There was little kids, about like that little girl back there, all the way up to grandparents, like me. I wasn't at that time, though, in 76. But it's amazing how a striking amount of truth lies behind many of the Star Wars powerful stories. There's a lot of truth in it. Some of the series' fascinating underlying themes not only represent the truth, but they have exerted a profound impact on our history today. Star Wars movies. The central conflict of the series, the ascendancy of a seemingly invincible evil force, and the resulting struggle to overthrow the power, it isn't mere science fiction. Back then, you probably thought, it's science fiction. But it isn't really. The story has been around for thousands of years. All you have to do is go back into your Bible, and you'll see it. Let's consider for a moment what is the theme of the Star Wars movie series. It chronicles the violent struggle of a tiny group against overwhelming odds. How many of you have really seen Star Wars? Nobody here? You have? I'm telling you, it was very impressive. And it, in turn, is controlled by a few sinister figures who don't hesitate to use their supernatural power to ruthlessly crush any opposition that might come their way. These leaders are dominated by the dark side, which is the evil side, which is, you know, is Satan's side, that holds them tightly in their grip, in its grip. So, combining the mighty empire are a handful of men and women, just a handful of men and women, who join forces in a heroic struggle to overthrow the cunning and powerful enemy. You know, you think back, the United Church of God is small. And we're trying to overthrow the enemy, aren't we? That force which empowers them to continue their courageous and determined battle against evil. We're trying that. In many ways, their stories are the stories of mankind's history it's largely a chronicle of ways and oppressors whose vain ambition has brought unspeakable suffering to others. And I think that's what Mr. Collins was talking about in his prayer. Such evil rulers and empires have ultimately fallen. They have fallen. But guess what, brethren? Usually when one falls, there's another one just comes right, steps right in its place, doesn't it? And it may not be, now like in today's world, it may not be as large. But it's what they have to fight with. But where did such evil begin in history? And how and when did it originate? In spite of several thousand years of struggles, have we not been able to forge a lasting peace? Why haven't we been able to forge a lasting peace with our fellow men? The answer, curiously enough, lies in the themes behind Star Wars again. Excuse me a moment. And it is expressly revealed within the pages of your Bible again. The book of Genesis describes the origin of many things. You know, Genesis does mean origin. And that's where it begins. It also describes the peaceful paradise Adam and Eve lived and shared with their Creator God. It was a paradise. Brethren, Adam and Eve had it made, didn't they? Everything they had was given to them. They had it made. You know, many of us wouldn't mind having a garden like the Garden of Eden, would we? Of course, we're getting pretty old to tend a garden. Humanity has had thousands of years to build societies, to build civilizations, and to experiment with governments. And I guess here not too long from now, we're probably going to change governments, aren't we? I don't know that for a fact, but administrations and lifestyles. We have been given time to build that, to change lifestyles. We've had the opportunity. So why haven't we been able to solve our problems? Why does suffering still exist? We have not succeeded in finding solutions to our pervasive problems, have we? Because, in the final analysis, humanity simply does not know how to live. Humanity does not know how to live. King Solomon told us, you know, remember old ancient King Solomon in Israel, put it pretty bluntly in Proverbs 14. Go ahead and turn Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And this is repeated again. We won't turn there. It's repeated again in Proverbs 16, verse 25. It's repeated word for word. But sadly, mankind has proved the truth of the words. For generations, under man's rule, the world has never seen the time that was free of war, strife, turmoil, and suffering. Conditions are so grave that we now have the ability to erase all human off the face of the earth more than one time. We have the things that are going on overseas right now, What was that? It was on television last night, or early this morning, I think it was, that one of them countries over there are really having it bad. I can't remember the name of the country, but they're into it. But just as Adam and Eve lost out on their paradise because something went wrong in their world. Something went wrong in their world. Another being entered this beautiful picture, and the course of history was forced to change. That's when it changed. Back in Adam and Eve's time. And that's when you might say that that evil empire began. Influenced by this being, Adam and Eve rejected the instructions of our Creator, didn't they? They chose to take of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And under the sway of the evil being, they willingly fell prey to the dark side, rejecting God's revelation. They chose to follow what they perceived to be a better way of life. They thought, well, if we eat that fruit, we're going to know good from evil. Yeah. So they could, through their own efforts, their experimentation and reasoning, they could start their own quest of to find the best way for people to live, they thought. But it didn't take long for the fruit of their fateful choice to become evident. They were expelled from that paradise that God gave them, weren't they? And it became evident. They were expelled from that paradise, and tragedy struck among their own children after that. And if you want to, you can turn to Genesis 4, verse 8. Genesis 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. That was the first murder, of course. The battle of the dark forces fought for control of people's minds looked ominous. The results of men and women giving in to their darker impulses became evident. Surely did there. Became evident. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, for all flesh and corrupted their way on earth. Humanity has grown so degenerate and so barbaric that God determined to start all over with the human race through Noah. And of course, that's back in the flood, when he determined to destroy all humanity from the face of the earth and start out with Noah. And at that time, I suppose, Noah and his family was pretty pure in God's ways. We still see a world full of brutality and bloodshed and suffering in our day today. Hanging over our heads is the threat of annihilation, as I said earlier, from nuclear, chemical, and biological warfare. Did I say that right? Biological? And increasing natural disasters. You know, we've had some earthquakes up in Ohio that I don't remember ever having. We had one back in the 70s, very, very, very small. But I guess we've had a couple not too awful long ago that rattled some buildings. Our world is far removed from the paradise Adam and Eve enjoyed, isn't it? For much of mankind, the world is a frightening, deadly, and depressing place to live anymore. You know, we're really blessed in the United States so far. But you know, you think about it, and I don't know why God would bless us, because what buildings is He allowed in now? Now, I work for a school up in Ohio, and the only thing I see in the hallway is, you know, like, if you stay close to God, He'll stay close to you. That's the only thing I see in our hallway. And I think that's, isn't that Ohio's motto? I'm not sure, but I think it is. But anyway, this is a county school. But you go into courthouses, you go into government buildings. Is God there? Not anymore. Then so why should God bless the countries? Why should He bless our country? We're not allowing Him in. Well, I've lost my place. You know, as you watch the evening news, I just mentioned one there. The evening news assaults our senses with painful images of starving children and refugee camps, violence and destruction all around the world. The Apostle Paul wrote that we live not in a time of peace and plenty, but what he called the present evil age. Well, I think he was talking about us. I think he was talking about our time. Go ahead and turn to 1 John 5. First John 5, we're going to read verse 19. First John 5, it's a short verse, but 1 John 5, verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Just kind of backs up our time right now, doesn't it? Both Paul and John understood that humanity is dominated by an evil empire. But how did such evil and suffering begin? Let's go back again in time to the beginning of our problems. Many people find it hard and difficult to believe in God. Or at least that God is interested and active in human affairs today. After all, they wonder how a loving, merciful God can allow so much suffering on our earth today. You know, I can't help but think back. I know a lot of ministers that, you know, like Baptists and other faiths that I talk to, and well, one of them I ask, you know, you believe the Ten Commandments. What do you do about the fourth one? Oh, well, you know, that's just Israelite commandment. I thought, Well, I don't think so. And then we have this one that I know very well that he even believes in the holy days, and he believes in the Feast of Tabernacles. Also believes that you go to heaven and that you're raptured. So, what those people don't realize is that this is not God's world, is it, that we live in today? A lot of people don't believe that. This is not God's world. God gave Adam and Eve the opportunity to make a utopia world for themselves and their offsprings, and we are their offspring, brethren. But they refused, didn't they? They refused that. They refused to follow God's instructions, since our parents, Adam and Eve, and all their descendants since, persisted in rejecting God's guidance. God has allowed mankind to form his own societies. Mankind to form his own societies. And we have, haven't we? his own governments, his own civilization apart from God. And we have done that. Yet God has not cut himself off from mankind. God hasn't cut himself off from mankind. We choose to do that ourselves. We choose to cut ourselves off from God. If you want to turn to Isaiah 59, we'll read verse 1 and 2. This is prophet Isaiah, and he tells us, Isaiah 59, verse 1, "Behold, the Eternal's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." You know, we got to ask for God's help. We got to ask for his hand. And it says right here, it is not shortened. He can still reach out and touch us. We got to ask, though. In verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And we can go back again to those buildings, you know, that don't allow God in them anymore. Our government, our schools. I remember when I was first starting school, of course this was back in the 40s, but the first thing we did, we had a prayer. Of course it was the Lord's Prayer in the book, in the Bible, and we had the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And I don't think they even do the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. I know they don't do the prayer. But God has always wanted a loving relationship with humanity. He's always wanted that. He has offered us a way of life that would bring peace and prosperity, that would eliminate suffering and sorrow to all of us. It would eliminate it. God pleaded with ancient Israel to go his way. He pleaded with them to go his way. Well, let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, we're going to read verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that both you and your seed may live." Choose life. At the same time, lamented that the people would most likely make a different choice. Most likely. And they have. Now turn back to Deuteronomy 5. So far, my head cold hasn't stopped my brain. I hope. We're going to read Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all ten," it doesn't say ten, "but all my commandments, always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Keep all ten commandments. The Bible has plenty to tell us about the being who influenced the first human being to set off on a path that has brought us to untold misery. Of course, you all know that's Satan. And Satan is that dark force that Star Wars, they don't really call it Satan, but if you ever watch Star Wars, You know, if it ever comes around, I would recommend you seeing it. Because there is a lot of truth in their stories. Besides that, it's intriguing. Satan has lied to mankind ever since Jesus Christ identified him as the originator of lies. He's lied to mankind all the way back to Adam and Eve. He lied to them, cost them their lives, didn't it? His lies have been responsible for the losing of billions and billions of lives since then. How great is his corruptive influence? God tells us the devil deceives the whole world. And those ministers that I've talked about, I like them and they are sincere. Of course, they're sincerely wrong, but they are sincere. So how great is his corruptive influence? God tells us the devil deceives the whole world. His influence is so pervasive, the whole world lies under the sway of Satan. They have no idea, do they, that they're deceived? These ministers that I'm talking about, they don't know they're deceived. They've never been truly called. Brethren, we have, but we've got to do with what we know, and we've got to do with it well. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, they got to allow it to happen. They got to allow it to happen for them to be called into God's world. The Bible warns us that Satan is the god of this age. It tells us that Satan is the god of this age. And brethren, let's make no mistake. The evil empire of Star Wars movies isn't a fantasy. If you ever go to that movie, you'll see it's real. And we are living in it today. Yes, some of it is fantasy. If you watch the movie, some of it is. But the story flow, it's not. Not only that, but it's going to get worse for us before it gets better. And as for the handful of heroes who over the centuries have taken up a violent struggle against those forces of the darkness, prophecy reveals a greater reward than anything imagined by any movie screen writer or director or producer. What God has in mind for us, they don't have any idea what God has in mind for us. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verse 41 through 44. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also in the resurrection of the dead, it is shown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is shown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is shown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is shown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? An incomprehensible future awaits the victors in the real Star Wars. Brethren, we live in the real Star Wars. The future awaits for us, shining as bright as stars for all eternity. Brethren, we live in the real Star Wars. We have to continue to allow God to be in our lives, to be in our stories, to be in our homes, to be in our buildings. We've got to allow that to happen. Now I'm going to quit right here because my head is getting hard. Getting something.